another episode of the Access Vikings podcast. My name is Andrew Kramer, joined by Ben Gessling and Michael Rand of the Star Tribune. Thank you guys for waving on Zoom. I appreciate that.
Hey, Andrew.
We are going to get into Minnesota Vikings free agency is officially 1 week away. On Monday is the start of the negotiating window. If you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes now on the Zoom. Negotiating window or negotiations have been going on since the combine, but they can legally start on Monday when you'll see agreement of terms between free agents and their new teams. That will also spur action for free agents and their current teams. If a Kirk Cousins can bring all of his offers to the table and see what the Vikings can do, the Vikings have had their line in the sand, and we'll get into where that line is and where Kirk's line is moving forward. But things did actually happen since the last time we spoke to y'all. Alexander Mattison got released by the Minnesota Vikings. That was official on Monday. News came down late last week that they told him they were going to move on. Ben, what was your initial reaction to that? And I guess, if I could guess, it wasn't too surprised.
No, it wasn't. And I think the reason it was a surprise at all, we didn't have a complete read on the contract, and I need to call a foul on myself here a little bit, because initially when that contract got done, I had reported based on what I had seen that it was fully guaranteed for this year. I think that ended up being a typo and kind of got baked into the cake. And I did not go back and check it really between when it was initially filed last year and coming up to it, thinking, oh, I know what this is. This is not really something to have to look into a whole lot. But in reality, it was what the Vikings typically do, where it was 2023 was guaranteed, 2024 was guaranteed for injury. 2.75 million of it was guaranteed for injury at the time that he signed the contract last year. He had a clause in there that would have made that amount fully guaranteed if he had still been on the roster at the beginning of the league year, I think on the third day of the league year. So had we known that, this would not have been a big surprise at all, because they weren't going to guarantee him $2.75 million for this season. He didn't have a good year in 2023. The fumbles, the lack of rushing touchdowns, the fact that he lost the starting job to Ty Chandler by the end of the season, it made sense once you see the full terms of the contract, which we were finally, I think a lot of us went back and said, well, this is a little bit of a head scratcher. Then you go back and look at it. Oh, once we see the contract phrased correctly, which is not what I had reported last March, then it makes a lot of sense. So once I was able to go back and say, oh, yeah, this got goofed up and I reported the wrong thing, and now that we've corrected it, it makes all the sense in the world.
Grand Casino would like to take a moment and salute the true football fan. The passion. The hope. The anticipation. That incomparable feeling of winning. Grand Casino would also like to take a moment to remind you that you can find all that anticipation, thrill, and winning at Grand Casino. Grand Casino, let your story begin.
Yeah, and honestly, when they initially made the move, and I thought they were eating $3 million instead of saving $3 million, I still bought it as in, like, you know what? They just wanted to move on that badly. Right. But if you could line delete his entire salary the way that they did, it's an easy choice. Mike, what was your reaction to that?
Yeah, not surprised. I mean, I think I was in the same boat as you guys. Like, I remembered when it came out and I thought it was guaranteed for 24. But when we find out it's not, it's like, it's easy, right? Everything Ben just said, he didn't have a good year last year. The plan they had last year, which was, hey, let's get more consistent in the running game. Let's know that we're getting 4 or 5 yards a carry. Let's move on from Dalvin Cook. Let's kind of like try this new thing. It just didn't work. He didn't give them enough of that consistency that they were looking for. And you took away that kind of home run threat that you used to get from Dalvin Cook when Dalvin Cook was, you know, prime Dalvin Cook, you know, the 2018 to 2020, 2021 Dalvin Cook was kind of more what I'm talking about. But yeah, if you're going off of that, like, loses his job to Ty Chandler. Chandler's obviously going to have a bigger role this year based on what he did. And you can see them bringing in somebody else who's going to have a pretty good size role too, just because there's a lot of running backs out there. They're, you know, you can get a good one in the draft in the middle rounds. Like it's easier than ever to put together a functional running game. They just haven't been able to do it the last couple of years. And part of that was that Madison just didn't have a good year last year.
Yeah, Alexander Mattison from the start was just a really forgettable season for him. The fumble in Philadelphia, the two fumbles after that against the Chargers that didn't count, but it was right after the whistle, and they certainly counted in coach's eyes. And then Ty Chandler starting the last four games of the season. And going into this offseason, none of us thought around the team, nobody's thinking, yeah, Ty Chandler is going to be that 1A workhorse guy. We always thought they're going to be infusing this backfield with talent one way or the other. Kevin O'Connell said as much at the combine last week, saying that we're always looking to infuse this with talent. Well, I think this year, more than years past, they are, after such the struggle it was. So before we get into the Vikings free agents headlined by Kirk Cousins and down, we might as well extend this conversation. How much do we think they're going to invest to turn this running game around? And we can't even fully answer that because this market for running backs is so fluctuating that it could be a waiting game of people waiting for Saquon Barkley to sign somewhere to set that ceiling for this year, because it's Josh Jacobs, it's Austin Eckler, it's Derrick Henry, Tony Pollard. There are a lot of free agent running backs available. This is considered one of the most populated free agent running back classes. It'll be interesting to see whether or not that brings the floor up or down for how much teams are willing to pay. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I think it probably there will be certain guys, probably Saquon Barkley, maybe more than anybody else, that will kind of break the downward trend that we've seen at running backs over the last, you know, really probably 7, 8 years. I don't know that you'll see a lot of other backs kind of transcend where the market has gone. I think you're probably going to see a lot of backs with a lot of accomplishments in the league, but also that means a lot of mileage available for a fairly reasonable price. You know, Derrick Henry may be a different deal a little bit, but just because of what he's been and what he can be when he's, you know, healthy and running well. But Derrick Henry's carried the ball a lot, and that's true for Josh Jacobs as well. So I would think those types of backs are going to be relatively affordable. Do the Vikings want one of those types of guys? I don't know that that's a great fit, but I do think you're going to be able to find accomplished mid-priced backs in the mix over the free agent market. I am skeptical, though, that they will spend a lot at that position, or at least put themselves in a box at that position, if that makes sense, in terms of guaranteed money and kind of linking themselves to one back for the long term. I was kind of thinking about this as we were starting off. We've had so many years with this franchise of the running back being the centerpiece of the offense, and we are seeing that. We saw that kind of change when Cook gets cut last year. I think it was the first time in a decade plus, probably 15 years, I guess, that they hadn't begun a season with a former Pro Bowl running back in the backfield. It was Cook and Latavius Murray, Adrian Peterson. I mean, you have to go back to like Adrian's rookie year was the last time they didn't have a Pro Bowl running back, returning Pro Bowl running back. So the idea that we will see another running back in a Vikings uniform playing on a contract that guarantees him a whole lot, I'm skeptical that they will go there. I do think they want to upgrade. I think they will make a number of attempts to do that. I just don't know that it's going to be in the way that we've seen in the past, where you have a prominent running back that gets a multi-year deal with lots of guaranteed money in it. I'm not sure that they're going to go that way from a positional value standpoint.
Yeah, Mike, I've got one name that I think is an interesting fit, but what do you think just about where they're at and the big names that kind of sit before him?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of with Ben in terms of how they might approach it. I just want them to fix it because it's been a bad running game for 2 years under Kevin O'Connell. It's been, you know, DVOA in the 20s, you know, rushing touchdowns down by the bottom. You know, they haven't really committed to it. And, you know, like some of that is philosophy. It's fine if you don't necessarily want to run the ball all the time, but you need to be able to run the ball when you need to be able to run the ball. And they couldn't do that last year. And that was, you know, if you think back to the moments where that season turned, like Nick Mullins not being able to get, you know, fourth and a foot on those tush push plays. If you have a power running game, if you have more trust in your running game at that point, you can get a yard there. If you have a better running game, you help out your quarterback. Maybe when Kirk Cousins goes down, if you have a better running game this year or next year, you maybe helped your young quarterback out if that's the route you're going to go eventually. So you've got to fix this at some point. I don't know exactly how they fix it, but that's been probably the most disappointing part of their offense these last 2 years, is just how ineffective their running game is, especially considering all the other skill they have around it. Like, the running game should be better based on how much attention you have to pay to the passing game.
In goal-to-goal situations, too.
Yeah.
Like, they have not been good at, hey, it's second and one, and if we punch this thing in, we score. They either haven't been able to do it. In a lot of cases, they haven't been willing to try. I mean, we don't see them try to run the ball in the low red zone very much. And especially that was the case last year. And some of that, I think, is just them saying, we don't trust our personnel to be able to get it done.
Is that running backs or offensive line, too? I mean, it's probably both.
Probably both. And probably by calling a little bit.
Yeah, and I would say that the running backs play, maybe my guess would be an even bigger share of that, because we see in looking at some of these free agent options, Ezekiel Elliott is one of them. And you talk about guys with tread on your wear on the tires and not a lot of tread. He's certainly one of them. But you went back and looked at where he was effective at New England last year, and New England's offensive line was probably the worst in the NFL. It was so bad that Vidarian Lowe, who was traded from the Vikings, was starting for them by like week one or two.
He was a guy they went after because they're like, this guy can help us.
I don't think he could, but very nice guy. He just didn't help a whole lot. And so
damn it, with vain praise, I guess, for their offensive line.
Yeah, they were in such tatters along the O-line for the Patriots last year, and Ezekiel Elliott's success rate when with 1 to 3 yards to go was still 75% on like 40 carries. That guy can just, he can make it work in a phone booth, as they say in the scouting parlance. He can make and find the room in a way that Alexander Mattison, when it was 4th and 1 at Seattle all those years ago, or last year, has not been able to find a way to do that for a power short yardage back. It's inexcusable to not have that. And so there are guys out there who can make chicken salad so much better than what Vikings running backs recently could do. One name that I find very interesting is Austin Eckler, who clearly was not the same guy last year. He clearly
he was not.
For fantasy.
Is this fantasy football, man?
Yep. That there's some fantasy football angst in my response to that question. Yes. I didn't want him. I was trying to price enforce, and the freaking bottom fell out of the market. No one cares. Keep going.
That's what you get for auctions. So with Austin Eckler, he's obviously not the same guy, but he was expected to be with the same workload for LA last year. He was playing for a coach in Brandon Staley who needed to save his job and really needed to lean on that guy, and they could not do it. He wasn't the same player. However, that means he's probably going to be at a relative bargain for what he's capable of when he is healthy. And he's still only, what, 29, 28, 29? Yep. He's not at that dreaded 30 yet. And if there's a short-term deal to be had to go to a pass-friendly offense and do all the things they need a pass-friendly back to do, which he's very accustomed to doing, he could maybe be a 200-touch efficient back and not being relied upon to be a workhorse for, as you guys had just laid out, a Vikings offense that doesn't ask the running backs to do a whole ton. And ideally, they would have a better receiving option in the backfield that they have not had. So he's one where I think if this coaching staff is comfortable with what they saw and think that, you know what, if he could get a little bit healthier, put less wear on him or less load on him in a regular season. And Kevin O'Connell knows his former head coach very well in Brandon Staley. They should be able to get plenty of intel on a guy like that. And I would think that that's somebody that could come at a relative bargain compared to the big names that we're talking about. What do you guys think?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think for a lot of the reasons you laid out, he would fit quite nicely. I mean, that guy that can be a safety valve for a quarterback on, you know, just routes in the flat, swing passes, screens. I mean, the screen game was terrible last year. And, you know, some of that is probably the running backs they had to do it. Some of it is, well, it shouldn't be the line, because, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that Garrett Bradbury, Brian O'Neill, I mean, we've seen Christian Darrisaw destroy people. Yeah. On screens in the past. So it should be a line that can execute that. So maybe some of it is play calling, maybe some of it is the running backs, but that's something Austin Eckler does really well. So yeah, I think if you could get him for a relatively affordable deal, I'd kick the tires on that. It's not my decision, it's not my money, but I would take a look.
Is this the year the Vikings fix the running game? Could become the new. Is this the year Adrian Peterson catches more passes? the yearly thing where he was like, this is the year I'm working on catching the ball. I'm going to do it this year.
Right around the same time that we had the yearly, can Cordero Patterson run a post route yet? Nope, he can't.
Nope.
Yeah. We have Cordero Patterson catch screen passes and Adrian Peterson just do what he does best. I mean, that would have been advice for the 2014, 2013 Vikings.
It reminds me of one of my favorite Mike Zimmer savagery comments that he had when he was asked about one training camp. This might have been Cordero's third training camp or something, and asked, but is he improving as a route runner? And Mike said, well, he's rounding a corner. Oh God. But yeah, they didn't know how to use
him there.
They didn't know how to use him. So that was just as much on Norv Turner and the coaching staff of the Vikings and Mike Zimmer, the head coach, as it was on Cordero, certainly. So, all right. Well,
a corner might have meant his routes aren't sharp. So, no, he's not improving. I mean, correct. you could take that however you wanted. I do not remember that one, but that's very good. I mean, the double entendre and Zim savagery.
If he intended that, that's really good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that if that was his intent, that's a great one-liner.
It is.
Yeah, he might have been running into that one on accident, or maybe he was taking that corner very sharply as he intended. All right, well, let's get into the Vikings free agents here. They have everybody. They've got 19, I believe, unrestricted free agents, from Kirk Cousins to Danielle Hunter to Jordan Hicks, all the way down to Greg Joseph, Johnny Munt, KJ Osborne. So let's run through some of those guys, but we got to start with the headliner, obviously, in Kirk Cousins, who we talked about last week. We heard from the Vikings. We have heard nonstop. Their intention has been unwavering since the end of the season. They want to bring him back, but they've got a distinct line. Ben, what is your sense on where that line is and where Kirk is relative to that line?
Yeah, my sense is that the things they've been saying since the end of the season are consistent. I think their line is also consistent. I mean, this broke down, as we've talked about, last year, over guaranteed money. It was the question of, will they guarantee 2025? He wanted it guaranteed at the time. They were willing to do 23 and 24 guaranteed, but not 25. So that's where things fell apart, and they said, let's revisit it, let's come back. My sense is that we are kind of replaying the same set of negotiations from last year, where it's this question of, can Kirk Cousins get 2025 guaranteed? So now that's 2 years guaranteed instead of three. But I think that's kind of where we are finding a point of tension here, is that the Vikings are not terribly interested in doing that, at least at this point, from what I've been able to glean. I think that's what Kirk Cousins is looking for. And the question, obviously, the variable that's different this time is that Kirk Cousins is a week from being able to say, well, let me go talk to other teams. Well, less than a week at this point from being able to go talk to other teams and see if I can get a better deal than that somewhere else. The Vikings, I think, have been betting that he won't find as big of a market as he might think. And it only takes one. It only takes one team to say, yes, we are going to give you the contract you're looking for. I think they are expecting the market won't deliver that deal. And then in the end, he looks at it and says, you know what? I've got a pretty good thing here. I have weapons. I have a coach that I get along with. I have a scheme that is built kind of for me at this point. I mean, it not only is it the type of offense I've played in a lot of my career, it's something I've been able to help shape in terms of nuances and little adjustments that I want to have, which still does give it an advantage over Zach Robinson in Atlanta, even if Zach Robinson is going to run a similar scheme. There is still that time that Kirk Cousins and Kevin O'Connell have had to say, hey, on this play, I'd really like it if the route breaks here a little bit differently. I mean, all those just kind of little touches in plays that he's had the opportunity to do. I think they are banking on the idea that when we get to next week and he finally has to come to a decision that it's going to be, this is still the best place for me to be. The question, I think, that, and only he can know this, is how much does the fact that they've had several of these negotiations in the last few years, and in the two sets with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the Vikings have not committed to him. They added a year in 2022, and they put the void years in there last year. They have not been willing to make the longer-term commitment to Kirk Cousins with this regime, and I think there's certainly reasons for that. But how much is that going to play in his mind, where it becomes this thing of, you know what, you haven't, for as much as I produced, you haven't shown me the kind of faith or respect that I'm looking for, and that I'm gonna move on. So I think that is a question to ask. And then how much does he just say, you know what, even if my feelings on this aren't perfect from how the negotiations have gone, this, once we get past the negotiations, this is still a really good spot for me to be. I think that's their play. We will see soon enough whether that's going to be correct or not.
Well, and I remember Kirk talked about at the end of last season that structure is more important to him than necessarily overall dollars. So he's looking for somebody to say, you're our guy for 2-3 years. And the Vikings seemingly want to continue, as they have done, to string it along year to year with him. So it would be fascinating to me if the Falcons, who are the team that's hotly rumored to be connected to him, or the Steelers, or whatever, and insert quarterback needy team, if they offer him less overall per year, but they offer him that financial security of 2 years, would he leave for that? Like, to me, that's going to be the fascinating thing of, is he that gung-ho to saying, I want the 2-year commitment? Or if the Vikings offer a better 2024 deal in terms of his overall value, would he entertain taking partial guarantees in Minnesota? Like that, not that we have an answer for that, but how that plays out to me will be incredibly fascinating.
Well, the other thing too is he's really kind of in the same boat with all of these teams in terms of, I mean, the guarantee aside, he's not going to be anybody's plan A for the next 5 years. I don't think. The teams that are talking about signing him, or the teams that are candidates to sign him, are the same ones that are candidates to draft a quarterback. So if he's seen as the bridge quarterback here, I mean, and there is some reason to think that's what they would want to do, is kind of make him the bridge to the next guy. He may see that as a slight, but you can't tell me the Falcons aren't thinking the same thing, or the Broncos, or the Steelers, or the Commanders. I mean, I've heard that name tossed around of, would he go back to Washington? I mean, Kirk and Cliff Kingsbury would be an odd fit, but if they wanted to do that, the Patriots. I mean, all of these teams are in the market for quarterbacks in the draft, and it's, I don't think anybody's going to look at this as a mutually exclusive thing where it's Kirk or the draft pick. It's probably going to be Kirk for now and then the draft pick for later. And if he's looking at guaranteed money as a way of sort of precluding that from happening, I don't think it's going to go that way. I mean, I think all of these teams sooner or later are going to say, you know what, this is a almost 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles. It may work out great. He's been really durable. He takes great care of his body. But a lot of these teams are looking for insurance policies, basically. I mean, to have a way to get out of the box if you have a quarterback that's too old or gets injured. So I don't think that guaranteed money, I mean, it secures him financially, but it probably won't preclude whoever lands him from thinking about the future of the position too.
Mike, you talked to the longtime Falcons reporter, Mr. Ledbetter, down at the Journal Constitution. Yes. What did he have to say about the Falcons side of things?
I mean, he basically said what you've seen a lot of Atlanta and national people say, basically, like, if Kirk Cousins comes on the market, he will be their number one target. Like, they have said they want Kirk Cousins. And I don't know if that means Cousins and a draft pick. My sense was that here's the thing about Atlanta, and maybe even Pittsburgh too, but Atlanta in particular, they kind of had their, you know, maybe slightly better, you know, MVP level at a certain point. They had their version of the Kirk Cousins stability for a long time with Matt Ryan. And then they saw how life was for a couple of years when they didn't have that. They tried drafting Desmond Ridder. They pieced it together with Marcus Mariota. They wound up with was it Heinicke that was there last year? I'm trying to remember who was there last year. Like they
he was there last year, and he is still there at a cap number, I think, of $9 million for 2024. So
okay.
That probably won't last.
But anyway, like they, you can see a team like Atlanta saying we kind of crave that same stability that we used to have, and that the Vikings craved when they went and got Kirk Cousins in 2018. Like, you know, the Vikings have been through that whole cycle of Bridgewater gets hurt, then you got, you know, you, then you got the trade for Bradford, then you got Case Keenum for a year. Like they just like, let's get this locked in for 3 years, and we've got a window here. Like, I don't know if the Falcons would go 3 years. What I want to know is this: like, if Atlanta makes an offer that's at least 2 years and maybe some guarantees into the third, but not like a full guarantee, like do the Vikings then move from there? Like, is there line in the sand just based on their bet, or is there line in the sand based on this is as far as we'll go, and if someone else is going to give you that, thanks for the memories, and that's it?
I mean, certainly last year it was that this was their line. I mean, I don't think it was a hedge last year that they came off of, obviously. Now, it's different
yeah.
when he's a free agent and there is actually a risk of losing him. You don't control that anymore. But I guess I'm inclined to think that their line is going to be their line, especially if they are looking at it and saying, I mean, to me, the tension becomes if they draft a quarterback, which I think we have every reason to believe they want to do that, then you are, you know, every year that you guarantee Cousins takes away from a year of your quarterback surplus. And there is
yes.
some certainly fascination with this idea in the organization that, hey, if we hit on our CJ Stroud, that's basically $30 million in free money. We have a guy that is playing at a, call it $40 million a year level, making like six or five or whatever. You know, depending on where he's drafted, obviously, but he's vastly underpaid for the production, which then means you have a young, controllable, athletic quarterback that you can build around and put a championship level team around. Because, I mean, I think we looked at it a little bit last week, Andrew, with the Texans. It's like they're in a great spot. I mean, they have money to spend, they play in a tax-free state, which players look at and see this is a good thing, obviously, for their own finances. They have a young quarterback. They have a quarterback-friendly offense. That is a team that has a chance to make some noise because of this type of thing. And it's a risk, because what if you miss on the guy? And then people are paying for it with their jobs, possibly. But if you hit on that guy, you have 4 or 5 years where things become a lot easier to build your roster. So the longer you sign Cousins, the more of that you eat up. And I think, you know, they've talked about not wanting to start a rookie quarterback, but the question of guaranteeing 25 to me becomes a little tricky, because if you do that, you basically are saying he's our guy for the next 2 years, which then means you're not starting the rookie until 2026, which may be good for his own development, his own seasoning, but then you're basically doing what the Packers had to do with Jordan Love, where you're making that decision on, is he a starting quarterback in, I guess he sat 3 years, but
right.
You're making the decision pretty quickly on, is this our guy or not? I mean, that Packers model works great if you hit on it, but it's also important to note that the first time the Packers did it with Aaron Rodgers succeeding Brett Favre, we were not in the current CBA where rookie contracts were 5 years and then the guy hits the open market. You could sign a rookie for 7 or 8 years and have all that control. You don't have as much time with that now. So it does speed it up a little bit, where it's, we want to get this guy on the field, we want to reap the benefit, and we want to know, is this our guy? So that does create a little bit of tension in my mind with the Kirk versus the rookie thing.
Yeah, and if you're locked into Kirk for that second year, whether you feel the need to start him because of that money, or even if you just start him because you want the rookie to sit a second year, it's not going to stop the noise of, if Kirk has a bad game,
yeah.
The noise of put in Drake May or JJ McCarthy or Michael Penix or whomever, like that noise is going to start up. And to say that doesn't affect Kirk might be steeled to that, but that will absolutely affect the organization and a locker room that are going to have their own opinions too.
Well, and I think it also affects the rookie because, I mean, I know for a fact that this was part of the calculation last year in terms of Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, you know, guys that they could have taken at the end of the first round. They knew that if I take a guy here and Kirk is a free agent, everybody is expecting that that player is going to be ready to be the starter in 2024. Is that guy going to be ready for that? Is that a fair environment to put him in to develop where he can kind of just focus on getting better and not worrying about the outside noise of when is this guy going to take over? Or, hey, they're 1-4 and JJ got hurt. I mean, think about that last year. If they had taken one of those rookies that they didn't feel like was quite ready to start in year one, and they get off to that start that they did, where they lose four of the first five, Jefferson goes down. And we heard it even last year with should they trade Cousins, should they trade Daniil.
Right.
If you have the successor in the building, the start this guy, let's just turn the page toward the future and then try to trade Kirk would have, I think, been even louder. So there is all of that to consider as well. And I 100% believe that that will factor into how they play all of this, because a lot of what they talk about, you know, they talk a lot about culture. They talk a lot about collaboration. They believe in that stuff. And I think there's reason to look at the way they've done it and say, there's good, you know, there's been some success. There's been some evidence to back up that approach. That is certainly going to be part of how they calibrate all of this with quarterbacks, because they know how important it is, and they know how important it is to have the quarterback and the coach on the same page. I would be shocked if there's not a careful consideration of all of those dynamics. If you have Kirk Cousins and a first round pick in that same room, how all of that plays out.
All right, let's play a quick game of stay or go here. Vikings got a lot more free agents other than Kirk Cousins that are about to hit the open market unless the Vikings re-sign them, which could happen with a certain number of them. But let's start with this one. Ben, what do you think happens with KJ Osborne?
I think he goes. Jefferson, Addison being here, they're going to pay Jefferson. I think he's looking for a chance to be a number one guy or at least a more prominent receiver. I think he goes.
Mike, any thoughts?
Agree. Yeah, I think he's gone. I don't think he had a great 23 season. I think he, you know, some drops, some important ones, especially if I remember it was the, I remember which game, maybe it was the first game of the year, that interception at, I think it was halftime off his hands that Kirk threw that ball Bucks in game. There, like the whole, yeah, the Bucks game. It was like the kind of set the tone for the whole year. Not that that's like, not that the whole year is KJ Osborne's fault, but just didn't have the year I think they thought he would have.
Absolutely. Yeah, he had that one ripped out of his hands at the goal line, as you guys just said. Daniil Hunter, stay or go, Ben?
Wait, what's your read on Osborne?
Oh, I would agree with you guys. Absolutely. And I think not only because of what you just laid out with how his season went, but these free agent wide receiver groups that come in, or excuse me, draft, the rookie wide receiver classes that come in out of college every year, it seems to be touted more and more about how great they are. This class is better than the last class. This class is producing more NFL guys than the last class. It seems to be that colleges, because of how pass oriented they are producing more of these guys who are ready to step in right away. And then you're seeing these guys make contributions pretty quickly. Yeah. So if I'm an NFL, if I'm running an NFL team, I'm not paying any wide receiver that's not Justin Jefferson level. Like, just keep drafting the next guy. You got to treat it like running backs almost, because these guys are coming in ready.
Well, I mean, think about it with the Vikings. It's like, they draft the rookie of the year runner up in 2020, and we can debate whether he should have been first or second. Yeah. And then the next time they do it, they come back 3 years later and Jordan Addison sets the franchise record for receiving touchdowns as a rookie. So lots of reason to think, yeah, we can keep kind of going back to this well and having success.
I would have to, now moving on to Daniil Hunter, I would have to say that he also goes, but what do you guys think?
I agree.
Yeah, me too. I think he's gone. I just think he wants to be a free agent. Someone's going to pay him because he's had really good years. And I think he's just kind of annoyed at how everything has gone up to this point, right? Like, I don't think he's like mad, but he's ready for a payday. And I don't think he's got particular loyalty after everything that's happened here.
Yeah. I think that's the right read. I think there's been enough years where, and you know, the Vikings for their part would say, you know, look, you've been hurt and we've still moved up cash. We found ways to kind of do what we can for you. They haven't put new money into the deal, which is what he's wanted and I think he's going to want here. But yeah, there are a lot of years of that, and I think there was a good chance that it was going to end with a trade last summer until that got fixed kind of at the 11th hour. I think the fact that he's 29, this is his shot. He has shown he can play in a 4-3. He's shown he can play in a 3-4. There are going to be suitors. I think he takes a big offer and goes.
And they're going to miss him a lot.
Yeah, they are.
Linebacker Jordan Hicks. He's obviously somebody played very, very well on his two-year deal for the Vikings. Took a pay cut, $1.5 million haircut to stay last year. Got sent to the hospital with emergency compartment syndrome. Had to have all that done, and then still came back for them. And wasn't half bad. So, Ben, what do you think happens with Jordan Hicks?
I think if they can find an affordable way to do it, I think he would stay. I think Brian Flores likes him a lot. I think he likes playing in the system. I think they see that he's important to it. Ivan Pace certainly could step in and play a big role. So that may create a little bit of downward pressure in terms of how much they would spend on Jordan Hicks. But if they were to give him kind of an affordable deal, and he said, you know what, I like it here. I'm not looking to break the bank at this point. I'm up for coming back on this. Yeah, I think there would be interest in that happening.
Mike,
yeah, I think so too. I mean, their list of credible, dependable, name brand defensive players is not very long. I think if you have one that likes it here and is still relatively productive, you try to keep him.
Well, and veterans in that locker room too. I mean, if you lose Cousins, if you lose Hunter, Harrison Smith, I think is a discussion. I'm not 100%. I'm certainly not at this point 100% that he's going to be back for, you know, whether financial or whether he wants to play type reasons. But there aren't a lot of veteran voices in that room that kind of can command younger players' ears. And he would be one that does. So I think they'd have some interest in bringing him back for that component of things too.
Could always bring back Eric Kendricks. He just got cut by the Chargers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the NFL ages you quickly.
It sure does.
Really quickly. Greg Joseph. Greg, sorry, what'd you say, Ben?
He just had a birthday. He just turned 8 years old on Leap Day.
That's right.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Greg Joseph, do they need a new kicker or not? What do you guys think?
I'm kind of ambivalent about him. I don't think he's like kind of average to, I don't know. I think you can do better. I think you can do worse. I don't know. Like, I'm not going to like rush to match some offer that some other team makes, but it's also like you kind of know what you're getting, and man, they've wandered in the desert before looking for at least an average kicker. So I don't know. I'm just not in love with Greg Joseph. I feel like he's missed enough annoying kicks over the years to make me like, nah, I don't know.
What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think if he got a big offer, they might say, you know what, we can go develop a guy and try to go a little cheaper here and maybe have a guy that's a little more consistent. We have seen that become a problem in the past where it's, no, we don't need Kai Forbath anymore. We will go with Daniel Carlson. And in retrospect, I mean, their scouting on Daniel Carlson was right. Daniel Carlson has been a really good kicker in the NFL. They just weren't in a position to be patient with him, and then they miss out on that. But Kai Forbath he hit the big kick against the Saints that we thought was going to be the game winner until they get scored on, and then Stephon Diggs does what he does. But, you know, we've seen that risk before where it's, well, we might try to make an upgrade here and it doesn't work out. That doesn't mean they won't try it, though. I think if the market gives Greg Joseph an opportunity to get a bigger offer than what they're willing to give him, I could see him going for that reason.
Yeah, Joseph made 24 of 30 field goals last year for 80%. He was 79% the year before. So he's just consistently kind of below average for what the NFL standard has become in terms of hit rate. And he did fix the extra point issue last year. But, you know, how much does that matter when he's only making 80% of his kicks? I would say this one, but I feel like we all know the answer to it. Marcus Davenport. Yeah, I think anybody around the team knows that the Vikings might actually get the car for him to go to the airport.
Yeah, that one's a weird one because they did move that void date up to maybe try to get something done cheaply so that they would move that money so that the void money wouldn't go into next year. I mean, That I say that was a weird one because I don't think there was any reason until that happened to expect that he would be back. I don't think it went well. I don't think there's a lot of energy toward him coming back. That's the only thing that gives me any pause about it. If they would maybe say, hey, if we can get you for a $2 million flyer, great. I don't know that that will be the case. Short of something like that, I think it just doesn't make sense to bring him back.
Yeah, that sounds like Kwesi potentially trying to salvage his initial decision to bring him in the first place and try to get literally anything, because they got about 2.5 or 3.5 games out of him last year. It wasn't a whole lot.
Productive when he was there, he just wasn't there.
Yeah.
He had that little stretch where he came back in the field like, oh, this actually, you can kind of see why they did this, but yeah, just can't stay on the field.
All right. Well, that should do it for this episode. We ran through at least the most prominent free agents. The rest of them are the likes of, you know, Cam Akers, Jonathan Bullard, Johnny Munt.
Wait, we don't have Johnny Munt takes?
I do not. I'm sorry.
I mean, they might need help at tight end.
They got Nick Hughes back. Yeah.
Johnny Munt's coming back. Book it.
When's Hawkinson going to be ready? I want to know that. Is he going to be start of the year, mid-year?
October, maybe. He had to wait till January, 29th to get that
surgery. Well, he's
got to
go down. Yeah, it's Johnny Munt territory, baby. I never have too many tight ends.
All right.
You like him.
Thank you guys for checking out this episode of the podcast. Please check out all of our work at StarTribune.com. That's where you will find the up-to-minute news of what's happening with the Vikings in free agency, which officially begins next week.
2024.